Last week on the podcast, I talked about how to hire and things you need to put into place when you're hiring an employee for your business. That was prompted based on a Facebook post that I read in a group of someone who hired an employee but had no idea about how to do taxes, how to handle them as an employee, how to train them as an employee. They needed help, but now they hired someone, but they didn't know what to do with them. And it got me thinking that a lot of people are put into a situation where they're told they need to hire help and they feel that they need to hire help, but they don't know how to hire help. They think it's going to take too much time to train them. And so that's what last week's podcast was about. So if you didn't listen to episode number 79, make sure you go back and listen to this. But today on the podcast, we're going to talk about what happens when those people don't work out and you need to let them go. It's never a comfortable situation, but sometimes it's just got to happen and you need to separate. So that's what we're going to talk about today on the Focal Points podcast. Do you struggle with all things you need to run your photography business on the day-to-day? You're not alone. And you're in the right place. You're listening to Focal Points. We're an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell, and we are here to help you create a business that you love. So you hired your first employee. You thought it was going to be great. You had great hopes for this person. And suddenly you get to about week two, week three, and you realize, you know what? This isn't working for me. It's causing me more stress than it's work. And letting someone go is never fun. And to be honest with you, most people who run their own business, especially creatives, aren't very good at it. We want to believe the best in people. We want to think that these issues that we're seeing in an employee are magically going to correct themselves. So we let it go on and on. And what happens is it gives them a false sense of security in a job they're doing that really isn't the right fit. And it causes us so much frustration and so much pain. And we let it go on and on and on, when we really need to cut the cord and let them go. And in doing so, it's going to be what's best for us, what's for best for our business, and also what is best for them. So the biggest detriment that you can have in your business is allowing someone to stay in a role that isn't good for them or the business, and you need to let them go. And the thing is if you have more than one employee, that one bad employee, and I shouldn't say bad employee, but that one employee that isn't the right fit can truly poison an entire operation. I've seen it happen very, very clearly, how a business was brought to its knees based on the attitude of one employee that the owner allowed to stay around way too long. In fact, it destroyed one business. So having these conversations as the business owner, you need to be very careful and you need to be very prudent and make these decisions quickly. It's what's in your best forward. Because as you move forward, it's going to be a lot easier once you let someone go, and then you can have time to regroup and find someone new and different to fulfill the role that they had, than just living around and being miserable in it. It's crucial, though, that you follow some steps before you just let them go. Can you fire someone with no notice? In most states, yes, you can. And this is something that a lot of the things that we're going to talk about today, I'm going to talk in generalities based on US law. I do know that we have some listeners in other countries, and other countries handle employment law and employment regulations very differently than the US. So I want to make this very, very clear that everything that I'm talking about today when it comes to employment termination is absolutely based on US law in generalities. But if you are someone who's looking at hiring employees, setting up employment contracts, you need to make sure you're talking to an employment lawyer or going through a service so that you are protected. You need to make sure you handle this correctly. This is just basic, an overview of information. I am not a lawyer. I am not here to provide legal advice. And my lawyers actually make me say that so that when we have episodes like this, I don't get into trouble. But I want to let you know some of the things that you need to look out for. So when someone comes on your team, it's usually customary that you have a probationary period. And we talked about that in the previous episode about when you're hiring them, how you work in that probationary period. And there's certain checkpoints that you have with your employees. When they first start, you're going to be meeting with them daily, showing them and training them in the job that they need to do. And hopefully, based on the employment agreement, they have a pretty good idea of how this is going to go. But you're going to spend a lot of time with them and you're going to invest a lot of time in them. You can reduce some of that time if you start creating training videos as you do tasks in your business that they can watch and become familiar with. But if you're hiring someone off the street who really isn't familiar with photography business or how to run a photography studio, set aside your time so that you can be a good boss and train them well. So what's going to happen is that you're going to start where you're going to be spending a lot of time with them. You're going to be investing a lot of time with them. You're going to have to set that side of that time aside so that you're meeting with them daily, sometimes even hourly when it comes to certain tasks. And as they get a lay of the land, as they get a good understanding of the tasks that are going to be assigned to them, you can start letting them do things by themselves. And then you can start concentrating on the things that you need to be concentrating on. So for the first week, you're going to be spending a lot of time with them. The second week, it's going to let up a little bit. By the third week, you should be able to really be doing like every other week, every other day touch-ups, and maybe a big meeting at the end of the week. So you need to make sure that no matter what, with any employee that you hire, that you are fully supporting them during their probationary period so that there is no question that they can come back to you to say that you didn't train them well. So as soon as you know, though, in this process, in the 90 days, that they're not going to work out or they're not vibing with your culture that you want, you don't want them in front of clients, you don't necessarily want them talking to other workers or contractors that you have, as soon as you see something happening, as soon as you see a crack, you need to address it right away. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you need to fire them right away, but you need to have a process of warning them because firing someone just blatantly on the spot is mean. It's cruel to them. They need to have a really good idea of how it got to that point. And they need to know that you did your best to invest in them when it gets to that point. So the first thing is, you need to address any sort of issue verbally with them. You need to show them what they did wrong. You need to address again how they can do it correctly and give them a chance to try again. Always give second and third chances, unless it's something that is really crucial with a client or something like that, or to the finances. Most things that you're going to have new employees do are not going to bring you down if it gets messed up one or two times. It may be frustrating, but it's not going to ruin your business. So you need to make sure you give them a chance kind of to fail or succeed. So when something happens, you need to warn them verbally, and you need to give them a time frame of when they need to make the correction. So if you say, okay, listen, this didn't get handled the way that I trained you, can we please address this for next time? So I expect that next time you're going to be able to put this order through correctly to the lab. Because if you don't, it's going to cost us money. I don't want to see that happen. I expect orders to be fulfilled and submit to labs with 100% accuracy. Do you have any questions on how this gets done? Is there anything you need from me to make sure that this happens correctly next time? If they say no, you're good. This is your chance to have that conversation with them so that they can come back to you and say, hey, I need a little help with this. I'm a little confused on how this ROSE system works, or I'm a little confused about this. But you've sat down and you've given them a chance to communicate. If the order comes back and orders start coming back wrong the next time, you need to have a verbal conversation with them. And then if you feel that this is something that might be an issue, you need to write this down. And you hear the term, you're going to get written up at work. It's not that big of a deal. You're just documenting that you had a conversation with them on this date, telling them this needed to be corrected, that what your expectations were. It wasn't corrected. Your expectations were not met. It's something you cannot tolerate in your business. So as of this date, you've given them two warnings that this needs to be corrected. And you can explain to them, say, listen, I want you to improve. I want you to do this right. I want you to be able to feel confident in this, but this is not something that can happen and continue in my business. So what if it does continue? What if you hire someone to place your orders in your business and they continually get them wrong and they cost you money and they cost you time in your business and you've decided, hey, this isn't working. I need to let them go. So say you have a studio and you have 5 employees. Let's just say that. My rule of thumb is the person who hired them is probably the person who needs to fire them. And firing someone, I've had to do it several times, is not fun. It's an awkward conversation. But if you're going to bring someone on and have their livelihood depend on your word, it's up to you to make sure that they're let go in the way that makes sense for you. Okay. And once you let them go, there's a list of things that you need to do immediately, or maybe even during the process of letting them go, so that you don't put your business at risk. So here's the thing, is that many people, when they believe that they're going to fire someone, that think they makes them a bad person. Like, so for example, when I had to fire my first employee like 30 years ago, it was a long time ago, I really felt like I was being a bad person because I had hired this person in good faith. And it became apparent after a couple months that this just was not working out. This was not in her skill set. And I cared for her. She was actually a friend of mine, which made it even more complicated. I cared for her, but this, I couldn't have this, the mistakes continue to happen on the job. So the thing is that you can let people go. You can let people go with care and with empathy and kindness. It's all in how you do it. And only you can determine how you should say these things. But many times I'm a believer in the fact that it needs to be short and sweet and to the point. There's nothing good in keeping someone in your presence for a half hour and an hour, dragging out the firing process. Just rip off the Band-Aid. You're not being a bad person, because most likely if they've been given proper warnings, like we talked about earlier, they know they're not doing the job. They're probably trying to do the job, but something isn't clicking. It's not the right fit. You are doing them a service by letting them go so that they can go out and find a job that is the right fit for them. Now, it may not feel like that at the time. I remember the first time I had to let someone go, oh, I cried when it was done. I thought I had ruined her life. A week later, she had a better job. I mean, it wasn't as serious as I thought it was going to be. And by me releasing her, I allowed her to go out and do something that was better for her. So you want to be kind and understanding. You want to say this might be a surprise, although it shouldn't be if you gave them the right warnings. And you might want to give them a little time or grief to process. Like if you have a studio and everybody is standing outside maybe your office door, or there's other people in the office, maybe leave them alone so they're not coming out of your office visibly upset, because everyone else in the office is going to know what's going on, right? But when you let them go, you need to let them know when they're going to get their last check. If you have it for them right there, that's great. You need to let them know that you're collecting your, if you've given them a laptop, if you've given them a cell phone for social media, if you've given them any of your equipment, that you're taking it back right away. They need to know that their passwords are being cut off right away. All those types of things. So you don't want to get stuck with someone, but you also really need to be able to let them, bless them and release them to go do what they're called to do, which isn't going to be with your company. So make it short, make it sweet. Make sure you have done a good job with your probationary period of giving them verbal warnings and written warnings. And when it finally is something that isn't, you know, it's not going to work, make that decision quickly so that they can go and find what's best for them and you can move forward in the direction that you want in your business. So after this word from Enphoto, I'm going to discuss some of the offboarding things that you need to have done in your business so that they can't do damage if for some reason they get really upset about the decision that you have made. All right, this seems like the perfect place for us to stop the conversation and remind you that if you have not signed up at Enphoto to get your 75% off a sample off their beautiful albums, you need to do that today. Enphoto creates beautiful handcrafted albums for your clients, and they're going to make you look great, and they're going to show your photos in a beautiful, beautiful way. If you have not signed up for that 75% off sample, you need to do that. To find the link, go to the show notes page, focalpointspodcast.com, and go ahead and sign up today. So when you let someone go, what is the process of removing their access? And depending on what you've given them access to, because I would assume that almost any employee that is going to come to your studio, they might have keys to your studio. They might have passwords into some of your accounts or all of your accounts. They might have a company credit card. They might have access to other people's emails and that type of thing. Whatever role is, you need to make sure that you remove their access. So when you're meeting with that one person, It's a good idea if you have another person deactivate everything while you're in that appointment so that they have no time to get into anything and mess anything up. But some of you don't have more than one employee. You're talking about one employee and it's just you, right? So you have to do this as soon as possible and you have to allow the time. So what I would do is I would have the conversation letting them go. And I would say, hey, listen, you can stay here in my office or you can stay in this area or at this coffee shop as long as you want to just absorb this. I'm going to go over here and do a little work so that if you have any questions for me, that you can answer them and you can kind of be in their presence, right? If this works out, this is how I would do it. And it doesn't work this way for everybody. But even if they just take 5 minutes to collect themselves, this is all you need to do. You need to then immediately go and remove them from everything. And an easy way to do that, I use LastPass is my password protection system. And so I can go in and easily remove everything that they've gotten access to. So for example, you might have someone that you have come in to do emails, to do social media, and maybe do some order processing. And that was not a great fit for that person. But in that situation, you've probably set them up with an email account. You might have given them access to your email account. You might have given them a company credit card. You might have given them access to your login, say to your Enphoto software ordering program, any other labs that you use. You might have a Slack channel that you use with them. You might use Monday as a project management system. You might have added them to your Stripe account or your PayPal account. All those things you need to remove them from. Now, some people might be saying, well, I would never give anyone my Stripe access. Well, sometimes you got to give people access to those things so that they can do a job and help you in their business. So when you hire someone, you need to keep track of everything that you've given them access to. And then you need to go in as soon as possible, as soon as they've received word that they are no longer going to be employed by you, you need to remove them from those things. You need to get keys back. You need to get credit cards back. You need to remove passwords. You need to change passwords. You need to protect all your company information. And then you need to have them sign something. So one of the last things you need to give your employees is you need to give them a dismissal notice. It includes your name, the company name, the date, email address, their full name that they're hired under. And it needs to say something similar to this. If I was letting someone go from my business, Dory Howell Photography, it would say, this letter confirms your full-time employment with Dory Howell Photography has been terminated effective this date. Now, you can put why in this letter. If for some reason if you don't want to, that's okay. If it's just not the right fit, you don't really need an excuse in most states. This is a legal thing. You need to make sure you don't need to include this in most states. At will states, you don't need to. But if they violated a policy, you can put in this notice, you violated this policy on this date, and we cannot have that. That type of thing. In the notice, you need to put your last paycheck will be given to you or direct deposited on a certain date. If there's any commission that's due you, it will be given to you on a certain date. Now, this is really important. When they were hired, they should have signed off that they received your employee handbook. I didn't talk about that in podcast number one, but you should have some sort of an employee handbook that goes over things like your non-harassment policy, your non-discrimination policy, your dress code, smoking policies, all those different things, right? If you work with an employment service, they will have something that they can help you with that. If you don't, you're going to have to create this yourself and probably contact a lawyer. Either way, you need some sort of employee handbook. When you give them the employee handbook, you need to have them sign something saying that they acknowledged that they got the handbook, they read the handbook, and they understood the handbook. This is really important because you are paving the way for this to go smoothly. So what you're doing in this termination letter is you are reminding them that they received a copy of the handbook and they signed off on the handbook, understanding non-disclosure agreements, confidentiality agreements, code of conduct agreements, sexual harassment policies, all those types of things. They signed this. They acknowledged that they agreed to it. They understood all the policies and practices in within the employee handbook that they were issued at the time, right? Now, that may not be a contract. The employee handbook is not a contract, but them signing, saying that they received it and they understood it, means that they can't come back and say, oh, well, now I can just gossip about you all over the place. It doesn't work that way. They signed off saying that they wouldn't, and that was a condition of their employment. So keep that in mind, that that handbook is something that's really important that you should have had at the beginning. If they have any, so for this letter of termination or dismissal, you let them know. If they have any questions, who the, can they contact? This is how they contact them. And you, the person signs and dates it, which most likely will be you, until you have an employment person, either an employment agency or a studio manager who can do this for you. So firing people is not fun, but if you do it right, you can protect yourself when it comes to certain things. You want to make sure you give them lots of notice, lots of warnings. You want to treat them with kindness and empathy, but also do it quickly if you realize that it is not the right fit, because a bad employee can really, really bring down your small business. Right? Look at letting people go as a gift to them so that they can go out and find what will actually make them happy and be a better fit for them. But when you let them go, make sure you follow some processes and procedures so that you are protected when it comes to letting them go. And some of those processes and procedures need to be thought about when you are hiring them. So all of this to say, it sounds like a lot when you're wanting to hire an employee, and it will be a lot the first couple times you do it. But once you get that experience under your belt, you will probably wonder what took you so long to find someone to help you in your studio when it comes to running your business, because having the right employee will ensure that you can go out and do what you do best while someone else is placing orders, editing images, following up on inquiries, taking phone calls, that type of thing. It can be a great, great thing to have someone in your studio helping you do those things. If you have any questions about this, I would love to connect with you. Just send me a message on Instagram at thedoriehowell.com. If you didn't listen to the previous podcast about how to hire someone, please do that. Hiring and firing can be one of the scariest things that you do in your business, because it means that your business is growing and you're taking on a certain amount of risk. Don't let the idea that this is risky stop you from having your business grow tremendously when you have someone to help you. Thank you so much for listening to the Focal Points podcast. We will see you next week. I know it's the holiday season right now. I hope that you are getting ready to be with your loved ones and have a wonderful, wonderful time. And we will talk with you soon. Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an InPhoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.